This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Hey, good morning, everybody, here on this somewhat sunny Saturday morning. Hope everybody's having a good weekend as we started off here. Lots of good football stuff coming up, some baseball trades, you name it. All that's going to be in the mix. But in the meantime, we are taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Got a short show today. Washington State pregame begins at 10:30. Cougars have their game at 12:30. So let's waste no time. Let's get going with headlines. Well, the Seahawks right now trying to find out what's going to be available for them. They've got seven players on the injury list. Now, they don't have Nico Thorpe. He's doubtful. They have six guys that are questionable. And, of course, it starts with three key guys. K.J. Wright's going to be okay, it looks like. Chris Carson, game-time decision. D.J. Fluker, D.J. Game-time decision. Same thing for Bradley McDougal, but there seems to be a little bit more optimism that he's going to be able to play. Still, that's a big blow if you have any of those three guys going to be missing, because those three guys have been some of the most instrumental guys in the improvement of this team in the 4-4 start. Rams are in good shape physically, no injuries, but mentally things aren't going too good. The fires down there, the wildfires, have affected so many people and a lot of the players. 20 players had to be evacuated so far, and they canceled practice yesterday. Wade Phillips and a couple coaches, they had to be evacuated, so there's a lot of angst going on and worry, rightfully so, about that. So a little distracted, very distracted right now. What they have to do is they're going to practice over at USC today. And, of course, get ready for tomorrow's game. Husky basketball team, not too good last night going against Auburn, losing 88-66. Auburn ranked 11th, and, of course, the Huskies ranked 25th. I guess, you know, tough matchup in the sense that this team probably is not going to be that good against great teams on the road. Still, they're 1-1 right now. They had the exhibition win and did some good things there. Dez Bryant, looks like he blew out his Achilles tendons. And so looks like he's going to be out for the season right on one of the last plays of practice on Friday. Big blow for them. Joe Flacco right now may not be able to come back from his hip injury and play next week. He's very sore, and so that could be a big blow for them. Rob Gronkowski looks like he's going to be a scratch for the Patriots against the New England Patriots, and those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton, how are we doing this fine Saturday morning, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You know, it could be better, but it's all good. You know, I mean, Dez Bryant, that's just awful.
Yes, just, no question.
That's to be expected. You know, sometimes, Mr. Clayton, as you get older and you don't have that flexibility as far as in your tendons are concerned, and you stop playing a game like that, like football, cutting, running, and jumping and cutting, it happens, you know? So I heard one coach said it didn't surprise him that it would happen to an older player.
No, but actually it happens to younger players too. And if you go through history, and I track this stuff, that the first 2 days of OTAs, the first 2 days of mini camps, the first 2 days of the training camp, you're usually going to have ACL tears and Achilles tears. And because what happens if you haven't got the tendons trained correctly, and then all of a sudden the shock of going through the speed that you have to play, the next thing you know, you then have the problems like that. And so you go back and you look at the holdout so far this year. Roquan Smith, the linebacker for the Chicago Bears, he held out. And what happened to him? Hamstring injury as soon as he came back. Josh Gordon came back from, you know, 3 weeks of trying to get his mind right, that was the same thing.
Yeah, hamstrings, tendons, those things you've got. Do you think it's just the lack of them not having, the coaches not having access to them, like the strength and conditioning coaches, to get them prepared?
I do, because I think that you train on your own. And I know when I was going through this, and actually it's funny because Les Snead of the Rams, who I'll see tomorrow, and Jeff Fisher when he was with the Rams, you know, they told me the same thing, is that what happens is if you don't train your tendons right, what's great for this off season, it's great for the joints, because now you don't get the joints as banged up because you're not practicing as much. But if you don't train the tendons right, then you're going to get these soft tissue injuries.
Yeah, and boy, I tell you, would you pick up Brandon Marshall?
I think they almost have no choice. Although I know they have somebody on their practice squad that they're paying extra money. They may just promote him, but you know, they only have three wide receivers right now. And really, when you think about it, that's got to be scary. Because
that is scary.
Well, what's scary about it is that you've got, you know, it's basically Michael Thomas and nobody else. I mean, they got a third round pick and an undrafted guy from a year ago. That's all they have there. And so basically the offense revolves around Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, and then Mark Ingram on early downs. And if that doesn't work out, then they're in trouble.
Yeah. I think Brandon Marshall might be in the wheelhouse on Monday morning. You might have to get him because, you know, just Ted Ginn, is he a possibility of coming back?
Possibility.
He's gone?
Yeah, possibility. I mean, Cameron Meredith, I mean, he offered nothing. That's unfortunate, and that just happens. But, you know, that had to be scary because now he goes on injured reserve. But I think, you know, Ginn might be able to come back.
Let's switch gears right quick. Thursday, did the Steelers didn't win against Carolina? Yeah. I know it's normally on Thursdays the team on the road has more difficulties than the team at home.
Right, 2-8. I think two and eight is the record of the road teams.
Yeah, I know it's not that good going on the road on Thursdays. Did that margin of victory surprise you the way the Steelers handled them?
Stunned me.
Yeah, I you know, a lot of people talk about New England, Kansas City, rightfully so, in the AFC. I tell you, Pittsburgh is on the way, Mr. Clayton.
No doubt. Their defense is getting better. Their offense. I mean, I'll tell you what. This is the most comfortable I've seen Ben Roethlisberger maybe in his career. And what I'm seeing in I checked that out yesterday talking to some people back there. What it is is that you know, Todd Haley was a demanding guy. You did it his way or you didn't do it. And so Ben wanted a little more freedom and creativity, and he gets it with his new coach, Randy Fitcher. And, you know, because, like, for example, Ben is like Tom Brady when it comes down to sneaks at the goal line. He's like perfect, 18 for 18, 17 for 18, something like that. And he was not allowed to audible into a quarterback sneak. And so now, basically, the coordinator comes in and says, hey, what do you want to do this week? And they work it out together. And so Ben now is more comfortable with what he does offensively. And you can see that now having a tight end like Vance McDonald has given him some of the same things that he's had since, you know, when he had Heath Miller. And so all those things have come together. And so, yeah, they're a force right now.
They look good, real good. What about some of these games Sunday, Mr. Clayton? Let's look at it. Patriots going to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I know Tennessee beat Dallas on a Monday night. I don't see them beating the Patriots.
No,
Sunday.
I agree.
What do you think?
I think it's going to be tough. I mean, that's Patriots right now because it's going to get into a scoring match. And that's the one thing is that, you know, say what you want. I know that they put up 28 points the other day with Marcus Mariota, but they're not a scoring team right now. I mean, Tennessee as an offense has been, I think, really disappointing this year. They're only getting like 16.8 points a game. That's not going to be good enough against Tom Brady.
Philadelphia been talking trash all week, Mr. Clayton. I mean, Kelsey came out the center talking about the Dallas Cowboys. I know the Cowboys took that loss, but, you know, when you play in the division, it's always competitive.
Mm-hmm.
You think Philly is on the rebound or Dallas is just on a serious decline?
I think Philly is now on the rebound, not to the hot stage that they were last year. They're not as talented as they were last year. Simple as that. They're still good. They're 4-4, probably end up 10-6, and I think they'll win the division. But you know, Dallas is just sputtering and not getting any better. I mean, so bad that Troy Aikman came out and said that they need a major overhaul of the operation, and that means. You know, Jerry Jones has got to get out of the business of being the GM type decision maker. And of course, I don't think he took to it too well, but hey, that's what he said.
I don't see Jerry Jones firing himself, Mr. Clayton.
No, not at all.
I just don't see that.
I think you can safely say that's not going to happen.
He is who he is. You know, you got to just deal with it. What? Leonard Fournette coming back with Jacksonville. They're going to the Colts.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, the Colts are on the rise.
I mean, they can't.
Colts have quietly gotten pretty good. I like what's going on with the Colts. I mean, you know, their defense is still suspect, but offensively, they're really doing some good things as far as what they're doing with the passing game. I mean, I don't think people understand how good Andrew Luck has been this year. I mean, he's been fantastic.
Yes, he has. He's been pretty good. Is Sam Darnold playing with the Jets Sunday, Mr. Clayton?
No. Josh McCown's going to start.
Oh, okay.
Darnold has a foot injury. He's been in a boot, so he's not going to be able to go.
Oh, okay. So that makes a little more sense. Hey, Washington. Mm-hmm. They started the year off good, but they lost. They lost tremendously on the offensive line, losing the guard and the tackle like that.
Well, they're down 60% on their offensive line, and Marcus Moses, the right tackle, was playing hurt, and so I think they're shot. Because you also throw in the fact that Paul Richardson's on IR. You know, they're depending on a 33-year-old Adrian Peterson just to have a running game. They're not a big scoring team. They can't come from behind that well. So, no, I think that that 5-2 start is probably going to turn into some kind of a bad finish.
Yeah, that's terrible. You think Atlanta's on the rebound, Mr. Clayton?
I do, yeah. Well, they're starting to get some guys healthy. They were one of the most injured teams in football with like 44, 45 missed starts. And now, you know, Deion Jones is starting to practice again, and he may come back. You know, they were able to get Bruce Irvin to help out with the pass rush. So injuries have really held them back. I mean, remember, Matt Ryan's having an MVP-type season. I mean, he's scoring 28 points a game, but they're giving up 28 points a game. And that's a defense that shouldn't give up 28 points a game. But when you lose all those players like they have, three starters, I mean, it affects you.
It definitely does. It definitely puts a damper in your lifestyle. Hey, besides A.J. Green with the Bengals, are there any other people key out for him Sunday?
Well, I mean, they got like five, six starters for the Bengals right now that are going to be out, and so that's going to be dangerous. I mean, because again, that's like eight with AJ Green and cornerbacks. I mean, they're really in bad shape. They're the worst shape of anybody right now as far as on the injury report. As far as, I mean, some of the others, I mean, Gronk looks like he's not going to be able to go. I think it's safe to say that we know that Derek Anderson is going to be out for Buffalo. They're going to start Matt Barkley, believe it or not. Detroit's in bad shape, and we got T.J. Lang and Darius Slay out. That hurts. A.J. Bouye is going to be out for Jacksonville. Then you got the Chargers, no Joey Bosa. You know, Tannehill stays out for the Miami Dolphins. Green Bay, no Kevin King. That's going to hurt. Jack Conklin's still in concussion protocol for the Tennessee Titans. Marcus Davenport's out for the Saints, as you know. And then you got, you know, we'll see what goes on with Seattle. Not good shape down in Tampa. You know, Vinnie Curry's going to be out. Ronald Jones, the running back's going to be out. Dallas, they're not going to have Sean Lee for 4 to 6 weeks. They also have their guard, Connor Williams. He's out. So, no, there's a lot of teams right now banged up.
That are hurting. Last thing, Gronk. Do you feel that Gronk, the injuries are compiling or is catching up with him?
Yes.
As far as his career is concerned?
I do.
Because this year he's been out a lot more than he's normally been.
And, of course, remember, he got that incentive-laden contract that pays him big money for playing time and for production, and right now he's not able to get it. And you know, that does take a little bit of – it takes not as much out of the offense as it used to. Because, remember, when he would miss, they would lose like 7 points a game. Now, I mean, I think they filled the void a little bit. I mean, they don't have as much as Ty. Dwight Allen's not a pass catcher or a real factor. But, you know, they had to kind of distribute it now in three or four receiver sets. Hey, JB, thank you for the phone call.
All right, Mr. Clayton, talk to you next Saturday, my friend.
All right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Load them up on the phones. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hiya, John. How are you?
Doing well.
Okay. Well, I think you and I were thinking that maybe Bruce would find his way up here, but it looks like he's going out to Atlanta to get some pass rush going for the...
Well, like I knew it sounded silly, but it looks like exactly what I was saying. Not that I was wrong on the team, because I was betting more he was going to come here, but I knew this was going to be a decision of convenience. And by convenience, what I'm talking about is that he comes up here to the team that he started with the coach that he respects the most, Ken Norton Jr., the players he knows, or he goes home to Atlanta, and apparently going home to Atlanta meant more, and that's understandable.
Right. And you talked earlier in the week with some of your colleagues on ESPN 710 about the offsets that Bruce Irvin had in his contract. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I wasn't familiar at all about that.
Okay, so what it is that normally when you have, you know, once you get past, if you're a vested veteran, you've been in the league more than 4 years, you have the ability then to get guaranteed money after the first, if you're on the first day roster, right, and you're there for the start of the season. That's so, and if you don't get cut the Saturday before the first game or the day right. before the first game, then your base salary is guaranteed. All right, so most contracts, they have an offset for the team. Where the offset is that if you end up getting cut, again, you get your money, but then if another team signs you, they get some of that money back. So if, like, for example, he signed for, like, $1.5 million or something like that, and so right. The offset would be $1.5 million, and so it would be $6.5 million for the Raiders. But in this case, he had enough clout that he was able to waive the offset, and so he's able to pocket that money and double dip. Now, remember, that, and it's not too often that that happens. You know that Joey Bosa was holding out. And you know, was trying to get his offset, so you can kind of double dip if he gets cut on a guaranteed contract.
So in other words, this is something that's negotiated by yes. an agent before the player gets signed by a team. Am I right?
That is correct.
Okay, and his agent did a good job.
Very good job.
As opposed to Le'Veon Bell's agent, who kind of really dropped the ball, literally.
Totally. It's awful to see what that agent and what Le'Veon Bell's done. And here's what's going to happen. Le'Veon will show up on Tuesday. He'll yep. sign his deal. They'll keep him on the exempt list for 2 weeks and not pay him. So he's only right. going to get 4 paychecks this year if he signs.
Yeah. You know, what a knucklehead.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now, John, is there a list out there of folks that represent players? You know, for instance, there's this big row about the Joel Siegel effect with the Raiders. You know, apparently Mr. Gruden didn't apparently like Mr. Siegel when it came to the Khalil Mack negotiations, so they shipped him out. Same holds true for him and Amari Cooper, whom he represents. Is there a list out there of these agents that represent the players?
There's a list that's in the Players Association app and also the website that's yeah. in there, but there's no public list that I know of.
Okay, so in other words, this is just stuff that, you know, for instance, you being a reporter
right.
and having inside knowledge would know about.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, we have a media part of the Players Association thing that gives us some information. It does give us all the agents.
I see. Okay, now there's another rumor mill about the Raiders. I mean, first of all, how much credence do you give the fact that Reggie McKenzie is going to continue on as the provisional general manager of the Oakland Raiders?
Through this season, and that's it.
I think you're right, John. I think you're right. I don't give much credence to what they're saying publicly that
no.
he's going to stay on.
No way.
So then I'm thinking, okay, well, who's going to fill that void? You know what I'm thinking, and this has been reported out now by some people in the know, saying that Bruce Allen might be a candidate for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if something happens to him in Washington, I think that would be the case.
Well, God knows he's dealt with prickly owners in the past. He's dealt with Mr. Davis himself, and then, of course, there's Mr. Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and of course, John has Gruden has a relationship with him when he was the GM down there in Tampa Bay.
Well, yeah, you figure that he could end up in either Cleveland with John Dorsey, maybe with John Snyder, because, you know, there's such great relationships that they have. So that very well could happen.
Now, can we talk about John Gruden's brother? What's his situation in Washington, John?
I think it's a little tenuous right now.
You
know, because if they don't make the playoffs and see the big concern that I think Dan Snyder has, look at the attendance problems they have.
Well,
they're down like about 20,000 a game.
Correct.
And they don't have a waiting list anymore.
That's exactly it. Their ticket prices are the highest in the NFL from when I remember being in Washington, D.C. for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and they had FedEx Field, which is fairly new stadium, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, and of course, I mean, you know that Dan's trying to work up to get a new stadium.
Holy smokes, John. Holy smokes. Another thing, John, is what do you think about Carolina against Pittsburgh? Were you a bit surprised by that? I was.
Stunned, because I thought it was going to be a close game. You know, and I think that's the negative effects of Thursday night football is that, you know, you can go in there cold, and if you go in there cold, you're in trouble. And, of course, it
right.
is tough for the road teams.
Yeah. And what about James Conner with Pittsburgh? John, what do you think about, I mean, what happened to him? He wasn't playing as much as he normally does. What's the story?
Well, I think wasn't he in concussion protocol?
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't sure. So, and you know, I don't think they're going to be needing Le'Veon Bell. He's a great running back, but I mean, Connor's doing.
They want him back because again, he's still better than Connor. He's one of the best backs in the league. But also,
right.
You know, there's going to be so many headaches. That's why they're going to take him down for 2 weeks and keep him on the exempt list if he comes in. Hey, Greater Jim, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, John, take care.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Patrick in Kent. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, good morning, John. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. What has been the Seahawks' problem of late? You were talking about the trouble of winning at home.
I think what it comes down to is that, you know, last year it was the injury factor, the fact that they go through the second half of the season, you know, minus, you know, three Pro Bowl starters on defense. That made them more vulnerable. And then what it also comes down to is that, you know, that made them vulnerable to good quarterbacks. And you notice the teams that they're losing to are the teams that have good quarterbacks. You know, right now, you look at the two losses they've had at home, and, I mean, I'm sorry to say this, but they lost to better teams. Those teams right now are more talented than the Seahawks because the Seahawks are in a reset. They've done a great job in this reset, and I still think they're going to have a good chance to get the sixth seed, be the last wild card team. But they're a 9-win team, not a 10 or 11-win team. And so when you're losing to the Chargers, that's a 10 or 11-win team. If you're losing to the Rams, that's a 11 to 12 win team, if not more. And so I think that's just what it is. I mean, you know, when you think of the teams that they've lost to, now Washington was one that I think hurt them, but that was one they should have won. But then Kirk Cousins had such a great game. You know, you can see that they were able to beat Atlanta, but, you know, they just lost to some better teams in some ways.
Their way they can fix that, maybe play a lot more smarter football?
Yeah, no question. I mean, because remember, look, they almost beat the Rams. They played a great game against the Rams. They played they had an off game against the Chargers. But I think you can see with the crowd noise and everything else that should go. And I think you'll see it on Thursday because now the Packers come out. They're undermanned a little bit. They're underachieving. And so I think that'll start to balance itself out. I mean, the key right now is if you can get 2 wins in the next 3 weeks, which is going to be tough. I think they can beat Carolina on the road. I think they're going to have a tough time against the Rams. And then, you know, they have to beat Green Bay. That's an absolute must win. And after that, remember, if you can come out 6-5, they've got 3 games against the 49ers, you know, 2 49ers and 1 against the Cardinals. They can be wins, and that gets you to 9. And then, of course, if you knock off the Vikings, if you knock off the Chiefs late in the season, you know, then it gets a little bit better. But I still think they're in good shape.
Okay, thank you very much, John.
Patrick, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. We'll come up next. We'll talk to Gary Klein of the Los Angeles Times. Get a preview of the Raiders. It's the John, or the Rams. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
And joining us is Gary Klein from the Los Angeles Times. And so first off, we got to talk big picture. I know it's bad as far as the wildfires, and I know it's affecting so many. Hopefully, first off, are you okay?
Hey, John. Yes, I'm okay. I live about an hour east of where probably the closest fire is, where the Rams facility is and the surrounding areas of Thousand Oaks. So I'm fine. But obviously, a lot of people affected here in Southern California during this run-up to the game.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, I know that I got an alert from my airline carrier that it may be a little dicey getting down there because I think the FAA is going to be limiting the number of flights going into certain airports because of how bad the smoke is and all that stuff. So it just seems like it's a horrible situation. And what we find out yesterday that Wade Phillips and a couple coaches had to be evacuated, 20 players had to be evacuated. Is that count and amount growing or?
You know, we have not gotten an update on if that has grown. My sense would be it probably has, simply because that fire had kept moving out of those areas that were initially evacuated into some other areas where I think some players and staff may live. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do get a next update that number has grown.
Now, how distracting can this be for this team? Because, you know, it is coming off a tough loss in New Orleans. injury-wise. They're completely healthy. They had the missed practice yesterday, but that's obviously the least important thing. It's a matter of trying to get everybody taken care of. But how distracted can this team be for tomorrow's game?
Well, I think there, you know, it'd be foolish to think there's not going to be some element of that. But I also think we have to remember these are, you know, elite professional athletes. And one of the things that makes them elite is their ability to compartmentalize things, regardless of what's going on in their lives or other, you know, things. They've gotten to this level not only on athletic ability, but on their ability to focus and concentrate. So my sense would be, naturally, there would be some distraction in terms of the families having to move around and, you know, what's going on with your kids. But my sense to this point is that none of them are at this point in any particular danger. Everyone is in a safe spot, and they did have yesterday to kind of get organized and get their family settled. So my sense would be, just given the communication lines and the support that's available through the Rams organization, that this team will come out ready to play. You know, a lot has gone on this week, not only with the fires, but with the shooting nearby and all those kinds of things, I think, have taken them out of their routine. And we, John, you and I both know that that's what players talk about, is keeping that routine. So that's going to be different. But my sense would be, again, getting back to my original point, they're pretty focused people, and I would expect them to still come out and play well on Sunday.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. So now, as you look at the team, obviously it's still in great shape. I mean, it was a great game against the Saints. You kind of figure it was going to be a shootout, and they just lost. What issues do they have aside from Marcus Peters on defense?
Well, at least in that last game, you know, they really didn't get pressure on Drew Brees. And that was an issue they had when they went against Russell Wilson last time up in Seattle. You know, the NFL, Wade Phillips has talked about it. You're going to give up yardage just the way the rules are set up and everything else. The bottom line is how many points you're giving up. And I think that's what was unsettling to the Rams, is that they gave up so many points. Not that they gave up nearly 500 yards, which it doesn't look great, but it's the amount of points. And I think, you know, it's not just Marcus Peters. He was the guy that kind of grabbed the spotlight because of the day that Michael Thomas enjoyed, especially on that last touchdown. But they just, you know, I don't think that they have any terrible issues they're dealing with. I mean, we do have to remember that's a Saints team that is rolling, that is as offensively loaded as the Rams. But I think if you look at some of their games through the season, including the first Seattle game, this is a defense that will give up points. And the Rams are just fortunate that they have an offense that can pretty much outscore anyone to this point.
And why is it? Why what do they have? Because that's what you thought. I thought that they obviously had tried. They addressed. I mean, they went out and traded for two cornerbacks, bring in Ndamukong Suh, and you would figure they should be, you know, in the top 10 scoring for defense and fewest points allowed, but they're not.
No, and I think the surprising thing to me has been their run defense. It just has not been really, really great. And, you know, last time they played the Seahawks, Chris Carson, Mike Davis, you know, had good games. And with Aaron Donald is having a fantastic year in terms of sacks, you know, with 10, but they really haven't been a real stout run defense. And I don't know if that's just because of the way, you know, on some levels, the way the NFL has changed. Corey Littleton, as a middle linebacker, has had a fantastic year in terms of, and from the University of Washington. One of the best probably in coverage, doing things that a middle linebacker, you know, we haven't seen them do and with the way offenses are set up in the NFL. But they don't have necessarily a stout, you know, guy in the middle, somewhat in that traditional sense. And I think Littleton and Mark Barron are doing, you know, a pretty good job, but they haven't been able, that defensive front, which is, you know, has a great reputation, and it should be because those are some very talented players up front. They have not been the dominating run-stopping group that I think we all envision.
Yeah. What is it? Something with Ndamukong Suh? Is it maybe the penetration that Aaron Donald gets, or and Michael Brockers, or what do you think it is?
You know, I think on some level, it's they're facing some very talented teams that look at the Rams and look at, you know, you're not going to win a shootout with them, so you're going to try and control the ball with the run. The fact that, you know, last week it was Alvin Kamara, who was obviously a terrific player, I think part of it is who they're facing, and those are some, you know, very good run-oriented offenses. But something's not clicking up front, and I don't know if it's communication. I don't know if it's an emphasis on the pass and trying to get to the quarterback. But that's something that they're going to have to address. As good as they've been in the first half of the season, as they get to the playoffs, as they move closer to the playoffs, I think that's something that they're definitely going to have to address. And they get a chance to do it this week, you know, against a Seahawks team that, according to Pete Carroll, has found its identity as a run-oriented team. So we'll see if the Rams can rise to the occasion.
Interesting. The other aspect of it, I guess, you know, what go into Marcus Peters. I mean, the ankle injury, or was it a calf injury, whatever it was, it really seemed to slow him down and make him more vulnerable, because I've got him right now beaten for 6 touchdown passes.
Yeah, he's given up some big plays. It's been really interesting, because that first game in the season opener, I wrote about this today, you know, he had the interception return pick 6 for a touchdown in his hometown. It was a big celebration. It was like, okay, here's exactly why the Rams went out and got this guy. But really, since the third game, when both he and Aqib Talib suffered injuries, it's really changed this defense. And I don't know that you can understate how much of an impact Talib has on that team, not only from a performance standpoint, but just from a presence in the locker room, on the field. And ever since that time, teams, I think, kind of surprisingly, you know, they're not targeting Troy Hill. They're not targeting Sam Shields. They're going after Marcus Peters. And I must say that I had not been able to really focus on him his first 3 seasons in Kansas City. But some of the issues that he's had over the course of the last 6 games, even though he says he's not hurt and he seems to be moving okay, just some of his leaping ability, some of the plays that I think in the past he probably was making, he's just a step off. And, you know, teams have not been shy about trying to exploit that. Obviously, Sean Payton went right at him with Michael Thomas. And, you know, we'll see if Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson try to do it again, because they also got to him, beat him for 2 touchdowns in that first game up at Seattle.
How would you grade how well Ndamukong Suh's played this year?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't think he's done anything that's really kind of jumped out, you know, in terms of a star-making kind of player. Now, you know, as someone who doesn't necessarily study tape every week, I can't say that he's not doing his job. I would say, though, that he has not had the impact that I think everyone envisioned when the Rams, you know, decided to go out and sign him. I think pairing him with Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers sounds great, and on some levels it probably is. But, you know, those are some big personalities and different kinds of talents. And maybe at this point they're still trying to figure out how they best, you know, work together. But I will say, to this point, he's had some plays. He had some early in the season that were key hits late in the game. But as of late, he just really hasn't done anything that's been kind of a headline-grabbing thing. Again, that's not to say that he's not doing the dirty work and he's not impacting things in other ways, but he has not been the marquee kind of playmaker that I think most people envisioned when the Rams decided to sign him.
Yeah, because that's the thing that I find amazing, because they're giving up 22 points a game. Seattle's giving up 19 and little change, and I never thought that the Seahawks turnaround defense would be having a better numbers game than the Rams. That to me just kind of stuns me.
Yeah, I think some of that might be, well, I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for them, but the fact that they're scoring so many points, maybe they're playing a little bit looser defense. Maybe Seattle's been in those kind of tighter games against most teams that maybe aren't as explosive. But whatever it is, and I think we saw this in the first matchup between the teams back in week 5, you know, as much as people were kind of writing off the Seahawks and giving this division early, before the season even started, to the Rams and Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, you know, the Seahawks are still the Seahawks on some level. They're not the Legion of Boom, obviously, but Bobby Wagner, you know, Frank Clark, and some of these other guys, they still have an attitude and they still play physical, and they're obviously, you know, kind of towing the line. They don't look like they're going to be a great team offensively, or maybe necessarily defensively, but they've been pretty consistent. And I suppose if you believe Pete Carroll, if they can start winning some of these closer games, then they might be a team to contend with.
Right, no question. And, of course, you talk about the Legion of Boom. I mean, I know somebody was trying to give the – because, again, there's so many young players, a Legion of Bloom is what some people were trying to call it, and they rejected that. They didn't like that one at all. But, I mean, the fact that they gave two concussions to two wide receivers, Brandon Cooks and also Cooper Kupp. And then it came back the next week and had two more guys knocked out. I mean, there's going to be a little bit of a battle, I would imagine, as far as that, because they'll have to be cautious about going across the middle.
I would think so. And again, also, I think getting back to the defense, you know, DJ Fluker had some comments after that first game about the Rams, you know, not having really played a physical team, that they weren't accustomed to that. And he kind of called them out on it. You know, the Rams have said they were looking forward to playing against the Seahawks again. But, you know, that's a tough-minded team, obviously, physical. And the Rams, from a talent standpoint, obviously have some great marquee stars. But, you know, we'll see if they can rise to the challenge of the physical nature that Seattle's going to still play with.
In the meantime, I mean, Jared Goff continues to grow as a quarterback. I mean, he gets better and better. The fact that he was able to come back from a 35-14 deficit and tie it up on the road, pretty impressive.
Well, very impressive. And I think somewhat lost in the storyline, including, you know, the ones that I've chronicled. You know, they did get behind. They did get outscored there, and that was a big, you know, big play at the end with Marcus Peters and Michael Thomas. But what's kind of lost in that narrative, and Andrew Whitworth pointed it out after the game, is there's not many teams that could be down by 21 points and come back in that setting at New Orleans and make it a game. And from a drama standpoint, you know, I was looking forward to, hey, let's see if you know, Jared Goff gets the ball, and he did get it a couple times. Let's see if he's going to be able to engineer one of those comebacks that we've seen Russell Wilson execute, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. You know, the players, the quarterbacks that really are at the next level are those guys that engineer those fourth quarter drives that win the game. And I think we talked about this before the season, John. To me, for Jared Goff, that's the next step. He has made some incredible strides, very efficient, very poised, but we just haven't seen that yet. And maybe it's just a matter of situation or whatever, but that's what I think, at least from a sports writer standpoint, I'm looking for next. Is he, when he is in that setting, is he going to be able to do that? And once he does that, then I think it enables him to take that next step where you really get in the discussion of some of these guys that have done it for years.
And in the meantime, just incredible growth from Todd Gurley. I mean, now the best running back in football, another MVP candidate. I mean, that situation keeps getting better.
Yeah, and I think Sean McVay has been very creative. Maybe some points, in some instances, maybe a little too cute, you know, where things are working so great. He is always looking for different ways to use Gurley. And I think that's kept him fresh, regardless of the amount of touches he's getting. It's not just a pounding, kind of running straight into the line. But he really is, I think, the centerpiece of that offense, off which everything else works. You know, he allows Jared Goff and that play-action game to really work, and for Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks to work in sync as a receiver core. So keeping Gurley healthy, I think, is maybe the main issue going through this next, you know, the last half of the season. And I think it's one of the reasons why the Rams, with a couple players on injured reserve, including Aqib Talib, who's probably going to come off in Week 13, you know, they haven't made a move necessarily to bring back Pharaoh Cooper, a Pro Bowl kick returner, or Mike Thomas, one of the reserve receivers. I think they're kind of sitting there at the halfway point, keeping their fingers crossed that a marquee player like Todd Gurley does not get hurt, and that if he does, you know, they want to keep a spot open in case, you know, they need to put someone on injured reserve and then bring him back for the playoffs. But he certainly has been good from scoring touchdowns, effective rusher. I think the thing that's been interesting is we haven't seen Sean McVay use him quite as much in the screen game like we saw last year. And I don't know if that's something he's waiting to break out again in the second half of the season or if he's just gone away from it, but that'll be something interesting to watch on Sunday as well.
Well, it's going to be good. And, Gary, I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Well, safe travels. I hope you can get down there without any problems, and it'll be good to see you, and it'll be good to see what happens with these two teams.
Sounds good. Gary Klein from the LA Times, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, John.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, The John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Taking phone calls till 10:30. Then Washington State football joins us with the pregame show and a big game coming up at 12:30 as they try to get the run to get the north of the Pac-12. more injury stuff. Boy, it looks like, man, the Bengals are really banged up. Five or six starters out. Vontez Burfict remains out. Dallas Cowboys are banged up. Now Sean Lee's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Connor Williams, one of their offensive linemen. And this is kind of that break part of the season where it's like, okay, you're either in or you're out. And you saw like 2 weeks ago, it started with the Lions starting to fall out. Dallas could start falling out. Tough game against Philadelphia. Still stunned by Carolina. They're in. I mean, I think they're still going to be the number one wild card because they're 6-3 and they're still a very good team. But things are wild. Oh, Washington right now getting all their injuries, particularly three on the offensive line, two going down on injured reserve, and Trent Williams out following thumb surgery. So we're really seeing the shakeout on teams. And of course, we'll find out if Jacksonville is going to be in. That's going to be a tough game against Indianapolis. Indianapolis getting so much better. Their offensive line now one of the best in football after being one of the worst. That's one crazy part of the season. I don't think I've seen offensive lines turn around as well as they have this year, and offensive linemen go down as quickly as they have. I mean, you look at Indianapolis bouncing back, Tennessee going down, Washington with the injuries going down, the Dallas Cowboys going down. I find that all fascinating. But we'll get into that. Load up those phone lines, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, The John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is The John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go with some headlines. All right, so the injury report still kind of shaky for the Seahawks. I mean, they've got, you know, seven guys listed on the injury report, and of course, the three key decisions: DJ Fluker, who's going to be a game time decision. Then it comes down to game time decision for what's going to happen with Chris Carson. And I'd say right now, it probably leans to them not playing. Still looks like it may be okay for Bradley McDougal. KJ Wright's questionable, but he'll be able to play. So the three key guys that you got to kind of watch, and they really do need all three of them. And of course, if that doesn't happen, then of course you know that the Ethan Posick will get a chance to start. Mike Davis gets a chance to start. Rashad Penny's going to be worked in there. But I think it's of the three, McDougal, I think, is the most important for this particular game because he's so vital in the secondary, and that secondary is young, and it's going against a very talented Rams offense. Rams, of course, no injuries whatsoever. Their injury report completely clean, but they're distracted. 20 players had to be evacuated from their homes because of the wildfires in Los Angeles. Wade Phillips and a couple coaches had to be evacuated too. They canceled practice yesterday because of the smoke. Then, of course, they're going to practice today over at USC and then try to go into a hotel and sort things out. Tough, tough times down there. As far as the Husky basketball team, they lose 88-66 to Auburn on the road. The defense couldn't contain the outside shooting of Auburn because Auburn was pretty good outside shooting and all that. So that turned out to be a 1-1 record for the Huskies. Dez Bryant blows out his Achilles tendon. They're still waiting for the official word on it, but it looks like he's going to be out. They may sign Brandon Marshall, who was in there. They have to do something. They only have three wide receivers, and those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. We're taking your phone calls to the bottom of the hour. Then it's going to be Washington State football with the pregame, and Washington State game's going to be at 12:30. So lots of interesting action coming on there. But give us a call, 866-979-ESPN and 206-421-ESPN. And of course, good, interesting times right now. I want to get your feel for what you think of this football team right now. It's funny because everybody was almost thinking maybe it was too much better than it was with the four wins and out of five games. But then things came back to earth in the sense that, they ended up losing to a good Charger team. And that's the thing I think is the tough part right now. I mean, when you look at the fact you had the Chargers, you have the Rams. I mean, these two teams right now are better than I think the Seahawks. And that's what can be exposed in that. Packers come to town on Thursday. I think that's a decent chance for a win. And then, of course, we'll see how it goes in Carolina. I think that's an even matchup because, I mean, what you're looking at is two wild card teams. Because, again, I still think the Seahawks can get to 9 wins. In fact, I'll even ask you this at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Do you think the Seahawks are a playoff team or at least a wild card team? You know, I went into the season not thinking it was a Super Bowl team. I mean, certainly you look at the Rams as a Super Bowl team. You look at the Saints as a possible Super Bowl team. I mean, we'll see where that next team emerges. But overall, I just didn't necessarily see this team being the one that could go to the Super Bowl. But I do see it winning 9. And, of course, these next three games are going to be critical. Because, again, if they can come out with 2 out of 3 wins, then I think they can get to 9. Because that would put them at 6-5 with 3 relatively easy games, and maybe they can do a little bit better. Again, this team is very much like the 2012 team, kind of built to be a wild card, and of course nobody thought it would be a wild card this soon. But now I think you can see the good coaching has worked out, the way that they've prepared, all those different things, that's worked out sensationally. But What are your thoughts on that? 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. The interesting part about this whole season has been, you know, the ups and downs of it. Injuries played a part, but boy, it's so strange when you think of what's gone on with this team in the sense that, you know, they come back, they get the slow start at 0-2, most people give up on them. Then they start coming back. They were able to establish the running game, which, of course, has been one of the big keys. Even against the Chargers, they rushed for 154 yards, which is amazingly good. That's something they couldn't even do if they wanted to the last 2 years. I mean, only maybe in 1 or 2 games they can do it, but now on a consistent level. But, of course, losing DJ Fluker could really hurt them because Fluker is just so valuable as far as his ability to kind of, you know, win the point of attack, you know, get that offense going in the positive direction, you know, starting to knock people over, giving it an attitude. And that's why he's so needed for this game. So that's going to be, you know, the big injury report that I think you have to follow tomorrow. Same thing with Chris Carson. Chris takes the running game to another level. I mean, Mike Davis is able to get it to a good level, but really you can see that Chris Carson takes it to another level. So your thoughts on that? 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Also on the baseball side of it, how much are you interested and how much are you kind of watching with anxiety what happens is on the trade front for the Mariners? Mike Zunino gone. You know, they traded Guillermo Heredia, and of course now they're in the process of filling out the 40-man roster. End up getting an infielder, and they were able to get, I think, you know, Malik Smith, center fielder, who has, I think, good promise. You know, certainly he's got speed, he's got the ability. I think he led the league in triples, but now what they have to look for is some power on maybe one of the outfield positions, maybe a young left fielder. And you can see rumors right now popping up that the Yankees have indeed contacted the Mariners on James Paxton. And so what I probably need to do is look through the list of prospects that the Yankees have to see in their top 10 list of prospects, you know, who's that left fielder that can hit. Still kind of debatable right now what happens with Nelson Cruz. No word on him yet as far as whether he's going to be able to come back and you know, be with this team. I think they certainly need him, but we'll see where it goes. Let's go to John in Arlington. Hey, John.
John.
Oh, Joe in Arlington. Sorry, Joe.
No problem. Love your show. Love everything you do. You are the master.
Well, thank you.
Ethan Posick, is he a decent backup to Fluker? And what's wrong with Fluker?
Well, Fluker got a calf injury and, you know, missed in the fourth quarter, a good portion of the fourth quarter. And I talked to him after the game, and he was going to be fine. But then apparently on Monday or Tuesday, he had a little bit of a setback, and so he has not practiced all week. They're being very cautious with it. I think he's going to try to play, but this is going to be one of those, you know, game time things where you warm him up and you see if he does have the ability to go out there and play, because I think it's debatable right now whether he can do it. But that's the thing. And, you know, understand that's why he was available to the Seahawks at $1.5 million is that he always seems to pick up some leg injuries. And, of course, you've got a 343-pound body. I mean, he's a great athlete. I mean, you're talking about the 11th player in the 2013 draft, but he always has been fighting some leg injuries. And so right now the leg injury is the calf, but, boy, they need him. You know, Posick, I feel kind of bad for Posick because Posick's a good young offensive lineman. But the fit on this offensive line is right now better with J.R. Sweezy and Fluker, because what you can see is they offer power. I mean, Posick is not as, I think, physical as those other two, and they want physical.
Cool. How'd they compare height-wise? I've heard Posick is too tall.
What's that again? Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, it wasn't too tall for the Tom Cable offense. I mean, but, you know, right now what you want with Mike Solari, you know, he wants guys that can, you know, bend a little bit more, lean forward a little bit more, take the action to him a little bit more. I mean, that's what he tends to like. And so it's just and what you can see, chemistry's part of it, too. I mean, Posick did some decent things, and I think he's considered one of the better young offensive linemen in the league. But, you know, it's almost as if now he neither needs to be a center or a right tackle to be able to play. But, you know, right, Jermaine Ifedi is doing a great job as far as what he's doing. So it's kind of on the outside looking in, but I think he's going to be active tomorrow because they're going to need him for guard, and then we'll see if Joey Hunt's going to be active because, again, you know, you have the flexibility with Posick. He can play center.
Wow. John, thank you. It's been an honor talking to you. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you very much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Greg in Ballard. Hey, Greg.
Hey, good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right. Hey, my question was for, I was thinking a little ahead as the future, and I wanted to know if you knew anything about what kind of role John Snyder is playing now that you know, there's no owner, I mean, such to say, now that Paul's passed. And as far as, like, Pete, what's going to happen to him when his contract is up, and I'm just kind of wondering,
yeah,
all that whole situation and what's going on with that, if you've heard anything.
No, there's nothing to hear right now because there's no urgency on any decision by Paul Allen's sister as far as the ownership part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and understand that she's been involved really for the last several years, and I think she's totally on board on keeping this together because it's a winning combination. I mean, you can see that they do such a good job with the personnel, with John Snyder. Pete does a great job with the coaching, and so I don't see that breaking up.
Yeah, I sure hope not, because it's kind of, you know, I remember when the Sonics left, and it was heartbreaking. I just don't want to go through that with the Seahawks, but... Also, John, I think the Seahawks, you know, are probably making a good decision for tomorrow about Fluker with keeping him out. That way he won't get injured more and will be fresh for the Thursday Green Bay game. It would be great to see him in there because I know he's a spark to the offensive line. But I think what you're saying is Posick can come in there and hopefully do the job.
Yeah, no, I think they have to be thinking that because it's such a tough turnaround, and so you're right about that. You know, if Fluker has a chance to play, I think they'll allow him to play. Same thing with Carson. But they also, in the back of their mind, realize that they could do a little bit more damage to them and them not be available for Thursday. Because, again, you kind of judge it. It's like, okay, even if this was a normal week coming up where they play on Sunday, you know, both players wouldn't practice probably until Thursday at the earliest, and Thursday would be the game. So, yeah, I think that has to be in mind, no question.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a tough turnaround. I agree. It's but I think the guys will be up for it. I mean, it's this season. You were right completely. I mean, this season really does remind me of 2012. And I think there's such promise about the next year. And hopefully, you know, if we do make the playoffs, though, that will hurt our draft picks a little bit. But I think that I'm so sick and tired of people dissing Wilson. And
I agree with you.
Man, I really am. I'm just, he's the best quarterback we've ever had. I hate all those doubters. And I think he's going through some different situations because of the new offensive coach, you know, Schottenheimer. And, you know, he's got to get used to that. And I hope Schottenheimer realizes that, you know, he kind of does have to let Russell be Russell a little bit. And, you know, I don't know. I guess I just want to know what you think.
Yes, again, that's you've hit on it, because I know I've been saying it for weeks, is that, you know, you understand it's like it's a new set of tight ends. It's a whole new offensive scheme and the philosophy. And, you know, he's, I think, done a very good job of adjusting to it and embracing it. I think he's done great as far as that goes. But it still takes time. I mean, you're still trying to adjust to David Moore. You're still trying to adjust to, you know, not having Jimmy Graham. You're trying to adjust to Doug Baldwin, you know, being up and down as far as injuries. You know, you've seen that they've increased what he's been able to do with Tyler Lockett. But that just takes time. And, you know, and when you're playing teams, and again, I think the Rams are better, and I think the Chargers are better. When you're playing better teams, then that's where you pay the price. But overall, this offense is advanced. It's top five as far as running. I mean, you can see that he's had a perfect game in the Detroit game, 158.3 quarterback rating. I mean, the guy's good, and I agree. He takes unfair criticism. Hey, thank you for the phone call. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show. Our thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Ben in Phoenix. Hey, Ben.
Hey, John. How are you doing this week?
Doing great.
Good. So I had a question. I noticed Braxton Miller is still a free agent after being cut by the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that? Because I thought he was at least doing okay to be at least a roster guy, you know?
Yeah, I think what is he's on the practice squad of the Jets or something like that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he's a talented player, and you know, I don't think he's in the mix for here. But yeah, it is kind of surprising he's not on an active roster.
And then another Ohio State guy was Philly Brown, the former Panthers receiver. Do you know why he's not on a team either?
I think he was banged up with some injury stuff, and I know his play kind of dropped off a little bit. And so, you know, I'm sure he's on the next group of guys that go into the receiving corps. I was kind of surprised that, you know, Brandon Marshall was at the top of the list. You knew Dez Bryant was going to be at the top of the list. But, yeah, he's still looking to find some guy. But, again, he's bounced around a couple times, and I think he's been finding some injuries.
Okay. And my final question, I saw Christian Hackenberg entered the new AAF for their quarterback draft.
Right.
Do you think this will be any chance for him to rejuvenate his career? Is this going to be his final stop?
That's what I like about the fact that they're having this, because I think it does give some hope that somebody like him can try to bounce back and can try to get get back in the league. I mean, it's been so needed, because there hasn't been, if you don't get any playing time, you don't really get a chance to develop, and he clearly needs the playing time. So I think this is a chance for him to do it. He's smart in doing it. If somebody wanted him in the next week or two, he could sign and then go back. But no, I think that was a smart move, and I think he can rejuvenate his career.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you, John.
Let's go to Kyle in Montlake Terrace. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener.
Thank you.
Your show. I just kind of had a two-part question, so I'll try and make it as quick. First, I agree with not the last caller, but the previous one. The criticism that Russell Wilson gets is just to the point of annoying. I mean, what the guy did for us last year and what he's doing for us, I mean, he's critical to our offense. He's critical to our success. So that being said, we've noticed, you know, people saying that he's not running a lot. It could be a hamstring. But, you know, I've noticed we are running the read option a lot. And
they lead the league in that, by the way, as far as production.
And I'm just curious, do you think that he is not lack of effort, because I don't think that's in his vocabulary, but making more of a business decision on how vital it's going to be for him to sacrifice his body towards the end of the year? And if he is doing that, do you honestly think that that may have any effect on contract talks when it comes to renew on him? Because I think it's ludicrous. There's no way we're not going to re-sign him. But we've seen John Schneider and Pete Carroll fire sale this team before.
Not at the very least. I think what it is a conscious decision by the coaching staff and Brian Schottenheimer to basically try to get the running backs to run. Because remember, it's not like this is like a 2-3 year group that has been together and, you know, has been able to do it. I mean, they're trying to get the running game going, and they want it with the running backs because they can be more physical in being able to attack. And so I think that's more decision. And of course, sometimes I think what happens is that the way that the defenses play, they want to go more for Russell as far as taking that away. I mean, again, they lead the league in yards rushing out of the out of that set, out of the read option. And so it's working, and if he's not running, I think it's kind of irrelevant. It's not a big deal.
Right, right. And then do you think, you know, because one thing I admire and also kind of get frustrated with is, do you think, because he reminds me a lot of, you know, say Tom Brady, to where if he's hurt or if he's banged up, you're just simply not going to hear about it. The guy is just not going to publicly state that. Pete Carroll is pretty protective about it, to the point of, you know, even getting in trouble with it, like with Richard Sherman a couple seasons ago. Do you think that maybe he's been, that hamstring has been a little bit more of an effect on him than, you know, the media? Or
I think a limited effect. I think that you can't dismiss the fact that it had to be some kind of an effect, but I think it's so limited that it's not really that big of a deal. Hey, thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Irish Minky. Irish Minky, how are you?
Hey, Mr. Clayton, fantastic. And always, 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 I hope you and Mrs. Clayton are doing wonderful today. I'm making it fast, talking fast, because I know we're running out of time.
That's correct.
But I want you to know, 25th anniversary today, Florida State, Notre Dame.
Wow.
And what's so great is they're going to be playing football in 20-degree weather, Mr. Clayton.
There you go. It's that time of year.
Real football.
You got to like that, because it's going to be cold, but it's going to be fun.
Yes, sir. It's the way it's the way God made it to be, Mr. Clayton. Outdoors in the weather.
No question about it. That's we'll see how they do. What, they made a quarterback change? Is that right?
Yes, they did. Their all-world book apparently suffered a rib injury the last game, and they're holding him out, and they're starting the senior to play the game. No problem. Winbush, he's fantastic. He'll get the job done. It's not that Florida State's at their best this year.
Right.
So it couldn't be any better. Great Irish weather to play football. Those kids at Florida State are going to be cold, cold, cold.
Okay, well, warm them up and enjoy it. And we got to get moving so we get warmed up with Washington State football. It comes up next.